Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. It's on page 58 of the Church Bible. Otherwise, it'll be up on the screens. The birth of Moses. Now, a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered, and the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of the Lord. Okay, I'm just going to talk for a few moments. On a day like today, it's a real focus on mothers. And obviously we think of our mothers, and I think of my own mother, a very strong, determined woman who worked hard and has worked hard to give me the foundation which I have needed. And my mother's still alive, and that's wonderful. And I have to say, think about other women who have been influential in my life. Jeanette's here, and I'm not going to embarrass her, but my wife as being one, a mother to our children. Our daughter, Jessica, another woman of God. Also my nan, who we lived in the same house. And my nan, if you can picture it, a great West Indian woman, big woman, who was there for protection, guidance, wisdom. She was a great person to run to when I was in trouble with my dad. And I used to try and hide behind my gran. Also a next door neighbour, Nanny Colgate, who looked after me and was like a surrogate mother. Also, two women in the church. One of them, Mrs. Hudson, never knew her first name, never will do. She was always Mrs. Hudson. Don't know why, but I think it's because, you know, it was a mark of respect, and she was always, even when I was growing up, she seemed really old. And Mrs. Leachman, two wonderful women of God. And I grew up in a strict Baptist church, and I've said before publicly that they taught us that it was strict, but on a Thursday night, they used to have a youth group for six of us. Now, if you can imagine these two old women organising snooker, table tennis, and Mrs. Hudson also organised a five-a-side football team. She didn't have a clue about football, but she used to take us on a Saturday. Now, they didn't very often preach Jesus at us. But it's really interesting, and it's not me who's done the research, but it is interesting the influence they had, because out of the six of us who went to the youth group, three of us are ministers in various churches. I actually think that's a really good strike rate. So, I've talked about women and influential women in my life. Now, I want this to be slightly interactive, so you're going to have to talk to me, all right? So, when we think about mothers, I want us to think about some of the qualities. of mothers. Now, what springs immediately to your mind? Come on, talk to me. Love, thank you. Eh? Affection, patience, caring, love, affection, patient, caring, understanding. Oh, good cooking. Oh, that's a new one. Okay, good cooking. Yeah, okay. All great qualities of mothers. Now, what I'd like us to do is just watch a short video, and it's one woman's idea of what a good mum should be.
Thank you. Get up now, get up now, get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb and sweep your head. Here's your clothes and your shoes, hear the words I said. Get up now, get up and make your bed. Are you hot, are you cold, are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework? And grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast, the experts tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take vitamins so you will grow up one day too, baby, and tall. Please remember the orthodontist will be seeing you and me today. Don't forget your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play. Don't shovel too slowly, but hurry, the bus is here. Be careful, come back here. Didn't you wash behind your ears? Plants lie doubly rough, would you just play fair? Be polite, make a friend, don't forget to share. Working out each term, never take a dead. Get along, then maybe come down there. Clean your room, wash your clothes, put your stuff away. Make your bed, do it now, do we have all day? Were you born in a barn, would you like some hay? Can you hear a word I say? No texting at the table. No more computers at night. Your iPod's my iPod. If you don't listen up, where you going and with whom and what time do you think you're coming home? Saying thank you, please excuse me, makes you welcome everywhere you roam. You'll appreciate my wisdom someday when you're older and you're grown. Can't wait to have a couple little children of your own. You'll thank me for the counsel I gave you so willingly, but right now I'll thank you not to roll your eyes at me. Close your mouth when you chew, would appreciate. Take a bite, baby, chew with the stuff you hate. Use your fork, do not burp, or I'll set you straight. Eat the food I put upon your plate. Get an A, get the door, learn to fart with me. Get a grip, get in here, I'll count to three. Get a job, get a life, get a PhD, get a dose. I don't care who started it, you're grounded until you're 36. Get your story straight and tell the truth for once, for heaven's sake. And if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump too?
The only problem with playing a DVD, it's really hard to follow it. That's some qualities of a particular mum. What I'd like to do now is look at the Bible passage and actually think of some of the qualities of Moses' mum, but also as we're looking at the qualities of mum and women, I want us to really think about the qualities of God himself. Now, I said it's going to be interactive because the particular passage talks about Moses, but it starts off by saying, a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman. Now, for those of you that, because I know loads of you know the Bible really, really well. So who was Moses' mum and dad? What were their names? Someone at the earlier service got one of these, so come on. Is nobody. Oh, right, I'm surprised. You can't answer because you're at the earlier ones. His dad's name was Aram, A-A-R-A-M, and his mum's name was... No. His sister's name was Miriam, nearly there. His mum's name was... Someone got this at the earlier service. Jochebed. Oh. So his dad's name was... Mum's name? Sister's name? Miriam. Really important. Because as we go through this story, you'll see the effect of women in this story. And I want to do it under three headings. A mother who let her son go. A mother who got her son back. And then I want to look at the heart of God, God being in control. So we know that Aram and Jochebed had a daughter called Miriam, and then they had a son called Moses. But it comes into a context, and the context is this. The context is Pharaoh gave orders to all the people, every boy that is born, you must throw him into the Nile, but let every girl live. Pharaoh had given a decree, an order. He'd done that because he didn't want God's people to grow numerous and to fight and wage war on the Egyptians. So every child male child should be thrown into the River Nile. So here's the first thing about Jochebed. She has a baby, it's a boy. Under the Pharaoh's orders, what should she do? Throw him in the Nile. She should kill her own son. But here's the courage of Jochebed. She doesn't do that. She keeps him and she hides him, the Bible says, for 3 months until she couldn't hide him any longer. Now, I'm going to suggest that the reason she couldn't hide him any longer was because he was bigger and he was crying, probably. But great courage to keep him in the first place. Great courage and fortitude and determination. And that is a quality, yes, that men have, but women have. It's courage, a tenacity. And instead of throwing him into the River Nile, she takes him to the River Nile, places him in a basket. And what a thing for a mother to do. The text doesn't tell us, but I'm going to suggest that as she was placing her son, her much-loved son, in the basket, there was tears streaming down her face. And she was giving up the most precious thing that she had, not knowing what his future was going to be, not knowing what was going to happen to him. And I guess I want to touch on something I said a couple of weeks ago. I wonder what is the most precious thing that we have that we need to let go of, actually physically let go. Maybe it's our family, maybe it's our children, maybe it's a job, maybe it's whatever. We've got 3 children and they've all left home. They've not come back. Which is wonderful, isn't it? And there's been a sense of having to let go and for them to make and find their own way. They do come back. Sorry, one's here today. They do come back, which is wonderful. But I find it so sad when people say, and they do, and that so many people our age have split up, and they've split up, why? Because the children have left home, and they've realised that the only thing that was holding them together as a couple was the children. That's so sad. There's a sense of letting them go and letting God. And I guess I want to say right at the start, I wonder what it is we're holding on to, which we need to let go of and let God. Because she was prepared to let go of, his name wasn't Moses at this stage, but I'm going to call him Moses, let go of Moses. And his sister Miriam is almost, you can see her hiding in the bulrushes, looking just to see what's going to happen. And here's the other woman in the story. It's Pharaoh's daughter. Now, if anyone gets this, you can get a gold star. Because I didn't know this until someone Googled it. Did you just Google it? Did you just Google it? You cheat. Someone during the last service, because I said I didn't know what Pharaoh's daughter's name was, actually Googled it during the service. Now, you can tell it had to be a young person. And they told me what her name was. So, come on, what's... So I'm going to get a microphone. Now, seeing as you've Googled it, come on. Pharaoh's daughter's name.
Bithia.
Say it again.
Bithia.
Did anyone know that? No. You could have said yes and I wouldn't have been any the wiser. Pharaoh's daughter's name was Bithia. Now, obviously, she's heard the decree of her father. She's Pharaoh's daughter. She's walking out with her attendants, and she sees the basket. She gets her attendants to bring it. She opens it, saw it was a baby, saw that the baby was crying. And here's the second thing. We've had courage. She felt sorry for him. Compassion. Women, generally speaking, more than us men, are so compassionate and have a heart of compassion. And I think this demonstrates something of the heart of God. The Bible says the Lord is gracious and compassionate. You see, we have a Father God who is a compassionate God, a God of compassion, a God who loves us. And she sees the baby, sees that it's crying. And then she says, this is one of the Hebrew babies. Now, she's Pharaoh's daughter. This is a Hebrew baby. What should she do? Thank you, that was quick. She should throw him in the Nile. But you see, the thing with God's plans is they won't be thwarted. Because instead of doing that, Miriam comes out and says, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? I think, she must have exercised a lot of courage as well. To come out of hiding and come and speak to her. Yes, go, she answered. And Miriam went and got whose name is Jochebed. Well done. Just making sure you're awake. She went and got the baby's mother, Jochebed, and so what happened was that Jochebed, who gave Moses away, gets him back again. Can you imagine the delight, the joy? And here's the neatness of God, because when you let something go, he blesses you abundantly. Because what it then says in the text is that Pharaoh's daughter, whose name is Bithiah, well done, take this baby and nurse him for me, but then she says, I will pay you. She's got her own son back, and she's getting paid to look after him. How neat is that? How generous is God? And as we let go of stuff, as we give stuff, so God blesses us. I'm going to say it again for some of us. I wonder what it is we need to let go of to let God. I wonder what it is we need to let go of. And we're just going to do this really simply. As we're sat where we are, you don't even have to close your eyes. If we're holding on to things that we know we shouldn't, I'm just going to ask us just to symbolically let go and let God. Is that all right? So, Father God, just come by your Holy Spirit. Just give us the courage and the compassion to let go and to let God. And Father, as we let go, and as we put our trust in you, so you bless us abundantly. So Jochebed got her son back, and she was paid to look after him. And then she did as she was told. She took him back to Pharaoh later on, and Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And then it's at that point that he gets the name Moses. And I'm going to suggest that Jochebed actually had Moses for the most influential time in his life. It's the formative years. Those early years for children are so important. And the Bible says, train a child in the way he should go, and he won't depart from it. Jochebed has instilled so much into Moses. And look what Moses becomes. He becomes God's chosen instrument to lead God's people out of Egypt into the promised land. And here's a question for you, because I'm full of questions today. Did Moses get into the promised land? That was quick. You obviously knew that was coming. No, he didn't get into the promised land. But here's what Moses does. He sees the promised land in the distance. Now, if we were Moses, I think for many of us, because it was God's promise that he went into the promised land, we'd have a strop with God. God, you told me I'd get into the promised land. God, I've stamped my feet because I'm not getting in. God, you're a sportsbook. God, you're a meanie. No, Moses doesn't do any of those things. Who leads God's people into the promised land? Joshua and Caleb. Joshua, it's all right. And Caleb. Got to have Caleb. But I didn't want to say Caleb because I'm speaking on that in a few weeks' time, because Caleb's Thanksgiving, you see. So I didn't want to. But Joshua and Caleb. But the thing is that Moses gets Joshua. He sees the promised land in the distance. And what does he do? He blesses Joshua. God's plans will not be thwarted. And he blesses someone else to do the very thing that he was called to do. How easy is that for us to do? To actually step aside to let someone else. That's a biggie. But actually, that's what Moses does. Because why does Moses do it? Because it's about God and not him. And the very heart of God is that his plans and purposes will be worked out. Miriam, Jochebed, Bithiah, thank you. Never forget that one. Bithiah, all great women of God, played their part in the life and work of Moses. And when I get to heaven, for the first time, I'll probably know Mrs. Hudson's first name. But you know what? I'm going to say thank you. I'll say thank you to Nanny Colgate. I'll say thank you to my aunt who died this week, Auntie Minta. Brought me my first Bible. I've still got it. Huge Bible. With coloured pictures. I read it as a child. I loved it as a child. So many people, women in my life, who have prayed for me and enabled me to be the person that God has called me to be. Please stand, will you?